Hello, my name is William Nixon and I am 17 years old. Today is the 24th day of November in 2018 and I am speaking with Jennifer Nixon, who is my mother. We are recording this interview in Medina, Ohio. For the first question, I'd like to talk about how you've balanced work and family over the course of your life. Listening to your stories over the years, it almost seems as if your life is divided into chapters, where you have prioritized one thing over all others for a period of a few years, whether it be work, family, or time between you and Dad. Is this something you have ever consciously thought about, or do you think this is just how life naturally happens?
I think this is how life just kind of naturally happens, and I'm glad of it. First, it was me and your dad, and we spent a lot of time, just the two of us, and I'm glad we did that before we had kids. And then we had your brother, and then you, and then your brother started having problems because of his disability, and it seemed like all of our concentration went into him. And every time we'd get him settled down, well, then the next thing we find out is you have a disability. Now we got to deal with you. Never got a breathing room in between, but, you know, at least we didn't have to do you both at the same time. And then we get you straightened out, and then Alex would have some kind of crisis. And finally, you know, after that going back and forth a few times, we got you in the right educational situation. I was able to go back to work and kind of find myself again and become me all over again instead of just being your mom and your brother's mom. And so now you guys are grown up and on your own and don't need a whole lot of help from me, and I'm able to kind of concentrate on myself and that sort of thing again. And eventually you guys, the next chapter is you guys both leave me. Then I'm an empty nester. That's a whole nother chapter. But I'm actually looking forward to it.
Are you, speaking about your working situation, knowing about all of your old careers, do you think you would ever want to go back to one of them for any particular reason? Or has Swarovski been the best job you've ever had?
Oh, I wouldn't want to go back to my old jobs. Well, maybe being just a mom. I liked doing that when you guys were little. But no, I love Swarovski. I get to be surrounded by beautiful things every day, talk to terribly interesting people. I met the loveliest two ladies today. And there's no danger of me going to jail if I'm wrong. Because the job I had before you guys were, before I had you guys, if I made a mistake, I could have, like, gone to jail for 5 years. It was terrible. It was very stressful. This is much less stressful. I have a fun job now.
For the next topic I'd like to discuss with you, I'd like to talk about perseverance and how you get through the struggles in your life. What do you think has been the greatest challenge in your life?
Greatest challenge. Oh, wow. Learning to read. I wasn't really taught to read in school, but I was smart enough to get myself into college. Then I got to college and totally drowned. So I quit school. That was a hard decision. But I decided that, you know, I had to learn how to read. Then maybe I'd go back once I learned how to read. And like an idiot, I picked a really hard book for the first book to read. I picked Dune. It's like 500 and some pages and really complicated and crazy word, made up words in it because it's science fiction. Took me over 6 months to read it the first time. I can now read it in less than 6 days. It was the hardest thing to do, and it was probably my greatest accomplishment besides you guys.
If you could go back and give some type of advice to a younger you, do you think you'd know what you'd want to say?
Don't worry about high school. I mean, the education part is important, but when you're in high school, it seems like everything, that's the whole world. And it so isn't. It so isn't. And so much of that, what you think is important in high school, in the greater scheme of things, really isn't. So just get through it, and it's going to get better.
The next topic I'd like to speak with you about is raising children. You and Dad have always made comments about how other people raise children, and you don't agree with the ways a lot of people choose to parent. If you could describe the correct way to raise a child, how would you?
I don't know if there's a correct way, but I've always... My thought about it was... I remember reading something in a book, and I don't even remember what book it was, but somebody made a comment about children don't raise, you know, you don't raise caterpillars, you raise butterflies. And I always thought of that as being, I'm not raising children, I'm raising future adults. And that so many people have this attitude of, oh, kids will be kids and allow them to behave like animals, and that's not a way a child should behave. And a child should be taught what's going to be expected of them later on. And they should, child has a time of practicing all those things and learning how to do them, not just being crazy. And so people used to always come up to us when we were in restaurants and they'd say, you have such beautiful little boys. And one day your dad said to me, are they really that good looking? And I said, no, they're not climbing the drapes. They could be ugly, and people would think they were beautiful little boys because they were well behaved, because they behaved appropriately for the situations they were in. And I always thought of childhood as I was preparing you to deal with what you were going to need to know to be a... an adult that could contribute to society. And that was always my goal, that you guys would be adults that we could would be contributing to society instead of draining it.
I suppose my next question has to do with when you were first becoming a mother, say when you first got pregnant with Alex, did you have any thoughts or dreams or aspirations of what we would become or what you wanted us to become?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a really odd question for me to answer. I never planned to be a parent. It wasn't anything I ever aspired to be. Then I turned 30 years old, and some weird this weird hormonal thing that happens to some women when they turn 30, where their body goes, yep, now it's time to have a baby. That happened. So, you know, we got pregnant with your dad, your brother, and you know, you think of you're gonna have this beautiful little child. And then your brother was so difficult to deal with. I mean, from the day he was born, he was just a very odd child. He wasn't like any other babies that I ever knew. And then he became a toddler, and he wasn't like any other toddlers that I met or knew. And it wasn't until he was, you know, 8 years old before we figured out really what was going on. And it's a weird thing because I mentored other moms that had children and found out that they were autistic. And their whole dream, you could see that every dream that they had for their child just shatter with the news. And I didn't react that way with your brother. When I found out your brother was autistic, it was like, oh my gosh, that makes sense now. Now there are ways to plan, ways to figure this out. It was It was like the sun coming up from behind a cloud. And it was so different from anybody else I knew, how they reacted to him, to their child having autism. And, you know, when I remember when the doctor said, we were sitting in the exam room with the doctor who diagnosed your brother. And she just, like, I filled out all these little surveys and stuff about you and about your brother and about your dad. And, you know, gave all these things to the doctor. And they read through them and they came in and they chatted with us. And your brother just sat there on the exam table playing his Pokemon game on his Game Boy. And then the doctor came in, because that was her student that came in and talked to us first. And she tried to engage in a conversation with your brother. And he, you know, had his weird way of conversing with people back then. And she just turned to me and said, yep, I have no problem diagnosing him as having autism. I think he has Asperger's syndrome. And I thought, my first thought was, oh my God, why did she just blurt that out in front of him? On the other hand, I was glad she did, because my parents hid the fact that I was dyslexic from me. They really didn't talk about it, and they didn't make any kind of, they really didn't explain it to me. And I remember thinking about, I'm stupid, I'm dumb. And I remember being, you know, I was teased about it. And I really didn't have a way to label what was going on. So when the doctor said that right in front of Alex, there was no way for me to candy coat it or hide it or minimize it. It was just out there. And so I had to think on my feet. And I said to your brother after that, I said, you know what? You're the same person you were when we walked in here. Just now we know the name of the path to helping you cope with the world better. And God, I wish somebody had said that to me. You know, you're dyslexic. And because we know you're dyslexic, we know what to do now. We know how to help you. We know how to teach you to help yourself. And you, right from the beginning, we didn't ever hide it from you. And you have grown up so different than my brother and I did, because of the fact that you've always known that you had this disability, but it wasn't you. It was just a part of you. And because you knew it, what it was, and it was identified, you could do something with it. And it wasn't a negative thing. So your way of approaching the world is so different, and you're so much more confident. And it's fabulous. It didn't stop recording.
It's still recording. It's just the phone locked.
Oh, the phone just went away. Okay.
I'm just hoping, because I've never checked to see if it actually records. I'm not getting anything bad about the microphone, so it's probably still going.
Okay.
So I guess the last question on raising children is actually probably the one I should have asked first, and it's, what do you think changes the most when you become a parent?
Your world gets bigger. It's not just about you. It almost stops being about you. And it starts being about your kids. I mean, it starts being about so much more, because you've now accepted a responsibility for somebody else. And for at least the next 18 years, you have to take them into account in every decision and everything you do.
So, and I suppose this is the final section, and it's just about I want to say the meaning of life, but that sounds horribly pretentious. What is, if you could, how do you want to be remembered as a person?
I want to be remembered as somebody who tried their best. Especially for you guys. I have always tried to do my best for you. It may not have been my best, but I've tried.
And then, final question. If you could leave behind one sentence, one message to leave behind to the rest of the world, one piece of advice, what would you give?
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
It comes from a weird philosophy of mine that I have about all of life, all of your life in particular, and every single person, because of your unique set of experiences, has led you to know the answer to one question that no one else knows. And I suppose it's all about, life is all about being able to give that answer to the rest of humanity. But that sounded horribly pretentious. So,
those sort of things always do.
Mm-hmm. It's very fun to write motivational speeches and talk about that.
The one piece of advice that I would give the world is that you have to be accepting of other people, in that everyone views the world differently. Some view the world through a very different lens than you or I, or myself, and that it's those differences that have the potential to make the world better.
All right. Looks like that is the end. Now we're going to very awkwardly close the set. How long did that record for? 30 minutes.